In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Again, I will say, rejoice.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God,
who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever,
who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice.
We just prayed from Psalm 146. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. The God of Jacob is the God who chose Jacob, of all men, to be a great patriarch of his people, to be the heir of the promises he made to Abraham, and most of all, to be a prominent ancestor of the coming Savior of the world. And God would actually identify himself by this man's name. He was willing to be known as the God of Jacob. And Jacob was well known for some notorious sins, most notably swindling his brother to take his inheritance and lying to his father to obtain the blessing of the firstborn. So the God of Jacob is the God who is merciful to sinners, the God who graciously chooses sinful people as his very own, forgives them for the sake of Jacob's great descendant, Jesus, and then puts them to good use for his own loving purposes. So we truly are blessed because our help is in this God, the God of Jacob. He is our God too. Our hope is in the Lord our God, who is merciful to sinners, who receives us with his love and graciously bestows his pardon. So let us confess our sins to the God of Jacob, the Lord our God. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent for them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. I now ask you before God, is this your sincere confession, that you heartily repent of your sins, believe on Jesus Christ, and sincerely and earnestly purpose by the assistance of God the Holy Ghost henceforth to amend your sinful life, then declare so by saying yes.
Yes.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Zephaniah chapter 3. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at the time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. The disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them, Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is near. Our scripture readings today bring to mind the joy we have in the nearness of the Lord. John the Baptist sent his disciples to the Lord Jesus, so they could learn from him he truly is the coming one, the promised Christ. And his coming meant nothing but good for them. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. So there was blessedness in the Lord's nearness. So too, the prophet Zephaniah proclaimed the goodness of the Lord's nearness, saying aloud, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. The presence of the forgiving and rescuing Lord called for songs of joy and exultation. Well, here in Philippians, the Apostle Paul reminds us the Lord's nearness is always cause for rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. We have cause for great joy always, right now, because the Lord's nearness is not only the imminence of his second coming, as the Advent season reminds us. That's certainly wonderful in itself. It's magnificent. But we rejoice also because the Lord is alive and present with us even now. So Christians, you know, sometimes we take this for granted or we just forget it. But let your hearts and minds dwell on that happy truth and rejoice in it. The Lord is near. For Jesus is not dead, but alive. He's risen from the dead, and he lives forever. And he is not far away, but near. Remember, this Jesus, the Lord, is Emmanuel, God with us. And he himself promised, I myself am with you always. The Lord Jesus is not confined out there in heaven someplace, but he's present in every place and at every time. The Lord is near. And he's near not only in the sense of his general omnipresence, you know, the fact that as true God, he exists in every place, that's true. But he's near also for us. He's present to distribute his gospel gifts for our blessing. You see, the Lord is right here, right now, actively engaged in his ongoing works of love for us. You understand? When the Lord sends one of his servants to preach to you, Jesus himself is present, proclaiming his own holy life and sacrificial death and his own life-giving resurrection, all for your salvation. And when the Lord has his servant speak his word of absolution, Jesus himself is present to declare his forgiveness to each one of you personally. Well, it's just like we confess in our catechism. It's just as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. And when the Lord has his minister place his name on you in the benediction, Jesus himself is here to bless you, to actually cause things to work for your present and everlasting good. Remember, the Lord said to his messengers, he who hears you hears me. So when you hear the men the Savior has sent, you're hearing from Jesus himself. The Lord is near. And he is near, like really, really near, also in this Holy Supper in which we will partake in a few minutes. For in the Lord's Supper, Jesus himself comes to us in this special way and miraculously unites his true body with the bread and his true blood with the wine, and he gives it to us to eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus personally is present to feed us with his own living body and blood so that he abides in us and we in him. And the Lord could hardly be any nearer than that. And let's not forget the nearness of the Lord in hearing and answering our prayers. Jesus promised, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do." That's why, as Paul went on to write in this little passage from Philippians 4, he says, "We can always make our supplications in prayer with thanksgiving." Already say thank you for the thing you're praying for is his point, because the Lord promises to listen to us and to give us what we request, or else something even better. The Lord is near. And best of all, the Lord will soon be near in such a way that we can actually see him. On the day of his second and final advent, Jesus will make his presence visible to us. And he will put a permanent end to all pain and suffering, sin and sadness, disease and death. And then he will endlessly be present with us in the perfect life of the new heaven and new earth. And remember, he promises, "I'm coming soon." The Lord is near. So ponder that, people. The nearness of the Lord. Let that blessed reality sink into your souls. Let the nearness of Jesus fill your hearts and minds with real and abiding joy. That peace and calm and contentment and thanksgiving that come from his presence in spite of whatever troubles and sorrows you might now be facing. For even in the midst of pain and suffering, we can have joy. For our Savior has come, and he's truly here with us, present with his blessings and with even better ones to come. So rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And as you're rejoicing in the Lord's presence, live in gentleness with everyone around you. That's where the Lord directs us next. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is near. And that word here is not reasonableness, at least not in the sense of being rational, as opposed to unreasonable or irrational. But the word means gentleness, in the sense of a peaceful disposition. It's talking about somebody who is willing to yield to other people, whenever conscience permits it, rather than insisting on one's own way. That's the gentleness in mind here. Now, there are, of course, matters on which we must not yield. We get that. Anything that has been settled by God's word, that's a matter where we must firmly stand our ground with him. Matters of right and wrong. Matters of other Christian teaching, for example. No yielding there. But in the many, many areas God has left free and open, in matters where he hasn't specifically commanded or forbidden something, well, he wants us to be yielding. Our attitude should not be, "Well, it's my way or no way." Or it should not be, "If it's not my idea, it must be ridiculous." That's not gentleness. But we should be gentle and willing to let others have their preferences whenever we can, which is, after all, simply living in Christian love. Because we don't need to insist on our own way. I mean, think about that. Why do things have to be your way or mine? We can let our gentleness be known to all men, showing ourselves consistently humble and yielding because, again, the Lord is near. In the Lord Jesus, we have all we need already. I mean, what else really matters? Does it really matter? Then you can start thinking about all sorts of petty things we dispute. Does it really matter if the paint on the walls is cream-colored instead of light blue? Or whatever other color it might be? Does it really make that much difference at home if we plan to go on vacation to this place rather than that place? Or if we watch the TV program somebody else prefers rather than my favorite? Is it such a huge deal that we have church at 10:30 rather than 10:45? Or that we have two services on a Sunday morning instead of one? Or that we have a Sunday evening service instead of Saturday evening? Is there really going to be any lasting consequence if somebody else gets their turn first? Or if somebody else gets credit for something good we did? Or for that matter, if somebody else gains at our expense, they come out ahead and it cost us money. Is it really that important? What use is there in squabbling over open matters such as these and potentially hurting feelings and damaging relationships, especially when we remember this happy reality, the Lord is near. He is present to give us assurance of His caring provision right now. God will take care of everything. And He's present to assure us of a secure and blissful future forever. And there's nothing that anybody can do to us that can change that or take it away from us. So being gentle is not going to hurt us. Certainly not going to make us lose our place in the world to come. Because He is with us, we have that peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So we have every reason to be gentle and yielding to one another. We also do well to keep in mind that the Lord is near also as our judge. And letting our gentleness be known to all men, well, that's living in the second table of the Ten Commandments, isn't it? That's living in love for one another. And the Lord will call us to account for this. And the good news is, as He abides in us and we in Him, as He works in us the Spirit's fruit of gentleness, one of those fruits worthy of repentance, our Lord is actually going to commend us on that day. He will say, "Well done." And the Lord's nearness as judge will be yet another cause for rejoicing. So we go right back to the apostles' words. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice, for the Lord is near. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. As we pray for God's people this morning, we remember Mark Reeder, still at Methodist Hospital for ongoing rehab, Billy Jackson at Methodist Hospital, Sonny Mack, also at Methodist, Joyce Wirtz, with thanks, she's home from the hospital, Leon Tiona, who cracked some ribs in a fall, he's now at OSF, Deanna Bishop, who's scheduled for surgery Tuesday, Bob Scott, who's at OSF, and Pastor Kesselmeyer, who's at Pekin Hospital. We rise for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we offer before you our common supplications for the well-being of your church throughout the world. So guide and govern it by your Holy Spirit, that all Christians may be led in the way of truth and hold the faith in the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. Send down upon all ministers of the gospel and upon the congregations committed to their care the healthful spirit of your grace, that they may please you in all things. Behold in mercy all who are in authority over us and our military forces. Supply them with your blessing, that they may be inclined to your will and walk according to your commandments. We humbly ask your abiding presence in every situation, that you would make known your ways among us. Preserve those who are traveling. Satisfy the needs of your creatures. And help those who call upon you in any trouble, that they may have patience in the midst of suffering, and according to your will, be released from their afflictions. Accept our thanks for the care that you have provided Pastor Kesselmeyer, Sonny, Mark, Billy, Bob, Joyce, Leon, and Deanna, and continue to work for their healing. Remember also Aaron, Christy, Leah, Bob, Sandy, Tim, Donna, Pat, Cheryl, Peggy, Honor, and Brian, to strengthen and restore them according to your will. We pray all this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. Right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the Messiah, the very Lamb of God, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he cometh again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Lord, for he is good. O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.